Blog Talk Radio.
For you. I'm your host, the Prayer Warrior, tuning in live from Tennessee. We're so glad you've decided to join us, and we pray that you will be blessed and encouraged as we share with you prayer and the word of life. Now on to our show. Blessings out there in Radio Land. You have tuned in to Prayer Warrior for You on the Saturday, January 10th, 2015. Now, we're so glad you've decided to tune in on this morning. We are just excited because this is a new year. Actually, the calendar year by God's holy calendar started in October. But in the Midwest, we celebrate the new year, the beginning of January. And we want you to know that this is a time that God wants you to be encouraged and strengthened and uplifted. You know, if we have times in our lives where we just don't understand what's going on and we just want to reach out to the Lord, if I believe this is going to be a powerful year for people where as they change the way they think, as they change their mind, as they change their heart, you know, we have to do something. We have to be able to be humble enough to open up our heart, open up our mind, and allow the Father to come in and to change us and to show us the areas, the gray areas, the dark areas, the rooted areas in our lives where we have need of change. Amen. We want to bless this show segment on today. As always, our prayer lines are always available to you if you decide to call in for prayer. Our area code is 1-657-383-0029. And we want you to be able, if you want to give a testimony, if you have a request prayer for someone else, or you just need prayer for yourself. This is a Christian show segment. We are prayer warriors in the realm of the Spirit to pray for you according to the Word of God. The other thing is any faith is welcome. However, you call in for prayer only. We will not tolerate any type of backlashing or anything like that on this show. Just be aware, should you call in and you do start that, we will disconnect the call. But as long as you honor the show and the directives of the show, you are welcome to call in. Now, Father, we lift up this show segment to you on this day. We pray, Father, for everyone who will tune in, that they will be blessed, encouraged, uplifted, and strengthened. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we saturate this show with the cross, the power of the blood of Jesus. We saturate the listeners. We saturate people who may tune in by archives or by way of Skype or by way of chat. And we pray your covering over our chat room, our prayer room, our Skype line, and every venue in social media that people will tune into this show. Let them tune in, and when they leave, never be the same again. We thank you for miracles, signs, and wonders. We thank you for revelation, understanding, and wisdom. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit on this show segment. Father, use me as a vehicle to be a blessing to the people of God. It's not about me, Father. It's all about you. This I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, you know, I'm curious to hear about some of your desires for prayer if you do call in. Otherwise, today we're going to be sharing about the power of fasting and prayer, and we're going to take some breaks every now and then to play a song of encouragement. We will also immediately put a break if someone calls in for prayer. And again, that line is 657-383-0029. We're going to go back to a worship song because we want the Lord to be able to give us the ability to see, to open our eyes so that we can see what He is saying to us.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open
want to see the Lord today. And the only way that we can do that is to have our supernatural spiritual eyes open by the Lord himself. You know, people are chasing after everything but God, some people, not all. And they're chasing after power. They think power is dealing in other things that do not worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, doesn't worship the Word of God, because they're only after physical, fleshly gain. But this year, let this become a new year for you, where you are chasing after and pursuing after the mind and heart of God. And so on today, as we begin to share with you about fasting and praying, we want you to know, first of all, with prayer and with fasting, you have to have a heart or a desire. It's recommended strongly where you're yearning for the Father. You're craving the Father. You're desiring the Father. You have a need for the Father. You have a need for his presence, our Father who art in heaven. You have a taste in your spirit, for the presence of God in your life. And in order to do that, there has to be a new way of thinking. There's got to be a different mind. There's got to be a different mindset. There's got to be a way that where you turn around within your heart, within your mind, where you no longer look at your problems, look at your situations, look at your challenges, look at your scenarios of what's in front of you, and you begin to develop an ability to see beyond what you can physically see. Begin to step into the realm of the Spirit and see supernaturally the good things, the holy things, the righteous things, things that are lovely, things that are peaceful, things that are from heaven. Not get entangled with the yokes of darkness, not be entangled with looking at things demonically and with occult eyes, but begin to look at things as God sees, to have the ability to see as God sees, to have the ability to begin to crave God. And in order to do that, as you crave him in your heart and you crave him in your spirit and you crave him in your will and you become hungry. You know, when you wake up in the morning, most people eat breakfast, some don't, but you have a craving for nourishment for your body because you know without food, you will not stay strong. Without water, you cannot survive. And this is how we've got to begin to think about God, our creator from heaven. Without the word of God, that is food for our spirit, food for our soul. Without the power and the presence of the blood of Jesus Christ, that is water, a liquid for life, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh, the life of the spirit is also in the blood of Jesus Christ. And the life of the flesh is in the blood. Without blood in our bodies, we cannot survive. Without the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not survive. And so as you begin to crave the Father and you crave him to learn more about him, it will be easy for you to push a meal back or to the beginning of the year in recognition, in as a sacrificial love offering. You're putting your flesh under subjection. You're mortifying your flesh. You're telling your flesh, sit down. I am not going to listen to you. I'm not going to listen to your cravings. I'm not going to eat those sweets. I'm not going to eat those things because I'm pushing it back for the Lord. Why? So that your spirit man can be strengthened, so that your spirit man can be restored, so that your spirit man can be renewed. And when your spirit is restored, when your spirit is renewed, when you have received an atonement, being brought back and reconciled to the Holy Father in heaven within yourself, within your heart, it's going to change the way you think in your mind. And so we want to bring to you an awesome prayer from Wesley Campbell, I yearn for you. And Psalm 63 is a powerful psalm because it deals a lot with fasting. You know, as you listen, be blessed, and we'll be back to continue on with the lesson.
Psalm 63, I yearn for you. Oh God, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek for you. My soul thirsts for you. and my body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Oh, Father, we come. We come in desert places, dry, weary land where there's no water. God, we begin to offer up these prayers to you. We say our heart longs for you. God, we have seen you in the sanctuary, and we have beheld your glory and your power. Oh, Father, we have seen you move and act. We have seen you touch the bodies of people, Lord. Father, we have seen you in times past, and it's been glorious. And because your love is better than life itself, God, my lips will glorify you. I just say that. Your love is better than life itself. It's better than life itself. We're looking forward to heaven. It's better than life itself. And I will praise you, Lord, as long as I live. And in your name, I'm going to lift up my hands in praise. Oh, Lord, I say that I will praise you as long as I live. I make a covenant this day. I make a covenant with you, oh God. I will praise you. I will praise you as long as I live. As long as I have breath, Lord. And my soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. Even during this time of prayer and fasting, even in fasting, my soul will be satisfied with you. As with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Oh, Lord. Sometimes I wake up at night. I wake up and it's dark, and I'm thinking about you. Lord, I think of you. I dream of you. Like Song of Solomon, I slept, but my heart was awake. I think of you in my watches. My soul, oh God, it clings to you, and your right hand upholds me. Those who seek my life, God, they're going to be destroyed. They're going to go down to the depths of the earth. But the king will rejoice in God, and all who swear by God's name will praise him. Father, you upheld the king. You upheld King David, and you've upheld many since him. And today, all who swear by your name will be upheld by you. And so I say again, as long as I live, I will praise you, and I will be satisfied in you.
You see, as we praise him and he, we will be satisfied. It's important to be satisfied in the Lord. It's important to love the Lord. It's important to bless the Lord. It's important to call out to the Lord. It's important to magnify him and glorify the Lord. And when we do that, he can strengthen us. He can bless us. He can just do all kinds of things for us. But we have to be able to be satisfied with the Lord, satisfied with him in our heart, satisfied with him in our mind, satisfied with him in our spirit. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a day and a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Why? Because in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. In the presence of God, there is strength. In the presence of God, there is restoration. In the presence of God, there is encouragement. But when we don't allow the presence of the Lord to be in our life, how can we be made strong? How can we be strengthened? How can we understand what it is he desires for us to do? God wants us to understand and to understand his will for our life. He wants us to yearn him. He wants us to crave him. He wants us to love on him and to bless his holy name. But when we don't do that, we're missing out on a very important portion of our life. We're missing out on what God has for us to do. We're missing out because we don't understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who sacrificed his begotten Son for our life, for our sins. But when we begin to become compassionate people and we begin to think outside the box and we begin to think not about us but about pleasing God, it will not be difficult to fast. It will not be difficult to pray. It will not be difficult to pursue a holy God when we do that. And so we want to encourage you to begin to love on him, worship him, honor him, seek him, praise him, glorify him, and do what needs to be done so that you can grow in God. Now, as we go farther into fasting and prayer right now, we want you to understand that we're not recommending anybody fast who may have medical issues or problems in their life. You consult your physician, of course, prior to doing that. But we do want to share with you, the believers, those who love to get close to the Lord and those who are desiring, we want to share a few points of different types of fasts with you and some things in the Word of God. Now, of course, fasting goes hand in hand with prayer. You have to be able to pray and talk to the Father. Psalms 42 and 1, verses 1 through 3, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? You see, here David in the Psalms is saying he desires, he's yearning for God, just as Psalm 63 that we so play. There are several types of fasts. There is a private fast. It's an unusual. It's usually done privately regarding unusual situations and circumstances, times and challenges to receive supernatural responses from God. You know, some of us are dealing with so many different types of adversity. We are living in the last days, and people don't know that they are fulfilling the word of God. The Bible shares that men will wax worse and worse. When you hear it mentioned men, it also means women as well. There are some people that enjoy their sin. There are some people that enjoy doing wicked things to other people. And so it says evil people will wax worse and worse. Don't be surprised what you see people do. Don't be surprised how you see people act. The thing is how is it going to affect you? Is it going to affect your faith? Is it going to affect your life? Is it going to affect your character? Will it affect your personality? The purpose of a fast is so that no matter what comes, what happens, it doesn't affect us. It doesn't affect the way we think. It doesn't affect our perception of our God who is in heaven. It doesn't affect how we love. It doesn't affect how we pray. It doesn't affect how we respond to things when we fast. Fasting strengthens. Fasting helps to equip. More importantly, fasting opens your understanding with the ability to see what God wants you to see. Fasting helps you to understand how to walk a free life, a life of victory in the realm of the Spirit. Fasting equips you to be victorious believers, followers of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Fasting is very, very key to breakthrough. Fasting is very, very key to being strengthened. Fasting is very, very key. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 5 through 7, here are some scriptures on fasting. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together in Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So let's continue to read. And the valiant men arose, this is verse 12, and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. So here is a situation, here is a scenario, that what they wanted to receive from the Lord, they fasted 7 days. The situation and scenario that they were dealing with in their life, and that what I just read was from 1 Samuel chapter 31, verses 12 and 13. The King James Version. Now we're going to go back to 2 Samuel chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. Then David took hold on his clothes and rent them. That means he tore them apart. And likewise, all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. And David said unto the young men that told him, whence art thou? And he answered, I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite. What happened here? Not only did David and the men with him mourn, they cried out, they moaned, they groaned, they went before God seeking wisdom, seeking direction, seeking guidance, seeking retribution, seeking for God to step in and to help them. They cried out. It says they mourned and they wept, and they fasted until even, which means they fasted until that next day. They fasted for a time. They said, why? It says they fasted for Saul. Not only did they fast for Saul, but they also fasted for Jonathan, Saul's his son. They also fasted for the people of the Lord. Oh, glory to God. How many of us are fasting for our churches? How many of us are crying out for the people of God, fasting? This is not a private fast. This is more of a corporate fast or a fast where they got together as a team, because a corporate fast would be to go before all the people and have everybody fast. But they fasted for the people. Hear me clearly. There are some of you in ministry out there, and you're wondering what is going on in your churches. What is going on in your ministries? Have you cried out to God? Have you pushed your plate back and fasted for the people of God? Oh, I know that there are many men and women of God out there who do fast and pray for the people of God and fast and pray for their congregations. But I'm reaching out to that select few who have not thought about fasting for the people, who may not have thought about fasting for their families, who may not have thought about fasting and praying for their neighborhoods, fasting and praying for their neighbors, fasting and praying for those who may be sick and afflicted that live right across the street or down the street or around the corner from you, fasting for people who may be ill in your villages that are abroad globally and internationally, fasting and praying for those in your governments, fasting and praying for those in leadership, fasting and praying for your employers, your bosses, your coworkers. You may say, oh, but prayer warrior, they treat me so bad. They harass me. They just don't do me right. That's okay. Don't look at what's happening in front of you. Begin to tap into the realm of the Spirit, pass what you can see, and begin to allow the Holy Spirit to bless you and train your supernatural eye with the ability to see that there are souls that are at stake, that there are people who may be hurting, there are people that may be starving for Jesus, people who are starving for life, people who are starving for everlasting life, and begin to not look at how they're taunting you, how they're picking on you, how they're harassing you, how they're being cruel to you, and begin to see they're yet a soul. Didn't Jesus do that when he went to Calvary? Didn't Jesus hang up there on that cross? Didn't Jesus continue to be ridiculed? Didn't Jesus continue to have the hairs plucked from his cheeks and all kinds of things happened to him? They even called him the son of Satan. They even called him a horrible person. They even called him a false prophet. They even mocked him and laughed at him. They even made fun of him. They even threw dice on his cloak when they crucified him while he's hanging there in pain, sacrificing his life for yet even them. They took his robe and was playing dice on his robe. And don't you think that that's going to happen to you? Don't you think that the enemy is going to try to taunt you? Don't you think that when you're going to work and you're glowing with the light of God and you're living holy and you have a passion for the Lord in your soul and you don't want to hang out with them when they have their team meetings away from work where they're drinking and doing all kinds of riotous living and enjoying what they do? Don't you think that those people have a need for your prayers? Glory to God. But what will empower you to be able to pray for people who are difficult to love in the flesh is fasting and praying. Well, here, David had these men not only fast and pray with him, but and for them, but they prayed also for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel. They prayed for the entire area. And I'm telling you, this is powerful. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 15 through 17. And Nathan departed into his house. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth. But he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. So not only did David pray, David laid out in prayer. David sought God continually, cried out fervently. He cried out to a holy God. He cried out for the Lord to work on his behalf. Now, I'm not going to go into the in-depthness of the stories of the reasonings of why they fasted or the reasonings of why they prayed. But we want you to begin to learn how to develop your hearing and your seeing. And knowing that when you spend time, quality time with the Lord, when you spend quality time so he can strengthen you and restore you, you can be made whole. You can receive life everlasting. You can begin to learn more about Jesus Christ. Many are praying for miracles, signs, and wonders, but they have not spent time with God. It's time to hear from heaven. It's time to walk where the presence of God is in your life. It is time for you to begin to become whole and a recipient of the blessings of God in the realm of the Spirit. Many people are taking the kingdom of God and teaching about the kingdom of God as though it is something to obtain wealth and money and all these things in this life. But when you begin to seek after the Father regarding supernatural understanding, you can begin to walk in the dunamis, miraculous, miracle-working power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with private fasts, to affect an entire year, are fasts done at the beginning of the year, which we're at the beginning of our year here in the Midwest. And those are private fasts. We want to affect our entire year. You know, what you do in the beginning of the year, the beginning of something, affects everything farther down. That's why you see so many times They tell people the most crucial time to raise your child and to spend quality time with them to nourish their spirit, to help shape and mold their character is from birth to 3 years old. Between 1 and 3 years old, a child is very vulnerable on how they think, how they feel, how they perceive their perceptions of things. And if children are treated abusively, if children are treated haphazardly, if children are not handled with care prayerfully, and if the parents are not being led of the Lord, when that child, you hear them say a terrible three, and they speak these things over children, rather than pray and fast for them and be the mom and dad that they need in their crucial beginning part of their life, they don't understand that sometimes they molded and shaped that child to how they'll be at three. And sometimes they didn't, because the enemy is always waiting. He's waiting to attack a person as soon as they come out of the womb of that woman. And when we fast and pray and we begin to see and understand that we have a responsibility to our offspring, we have a responsibility to our seed, we have a responsibility to our children, to our babies, we have a responsibility, whether they're spiritual babies or our natural children, we have a responsibility. God has given them to us for a season. They're on loan because all souls belong to God in heaven. And so when we begin to allow the Father to shape the way we think, shape the way we feel, where our lives are pleasing in His sight, where our ways are pleasing in God's sight, where our emotions are pleasing in God's sight, where our desires are pleasing in God's sight, not our own sight, because we're going to die someday. Everybody breathing will have to stand before a holy God. Then we have a mental and emotional preparation with fasting. What are the motives behind your fast? Is it to lose weight? That's not a motive for a spiritual fast. Why am I going to fast? Well, your main reason should have nothing to do with fitting back into your old clothes after a great feast. Not when you're doing a spiritual fast, not when you're doing a fast to get close to the Lord. Your focus should be on God. Your focus should be on our Lord. Your focus should be on pleasing Him. Your focus should be on hearing from heaven. I'm going to take a break, and we are going to come right back to continue on this lesson.
Reading life into the
What a powerful song from the CD Extraordinary Life Worship. You know, we are your people, Father. We're crying out for desperation this new year. We're crying out to hear from heaven, oh God. We're crying out, Father, for God. We're crying out for our neighborhoods. We're crying out for healing and deliverance for our neighbors. We're crying out for our country. We're crying out for our president. We're crying out for the government. We're crying out for the police officers. We're crying out for the firefighters. We're crying out for those who do public service to be a blessing to the people. We're crying out for the pastors, apostles, bishops, prophets, evangelists, and teachers. We're crying out, oh God, for our children. We're crying out, oh God, for our elderly. We're crying out, oh God, for the marriages. We're crying out, Father, for the singles. Father, we're crying out because we need to hear from heaven this beginning of this year. We need to hear what your will is. We need to hear what your way is. We need to hear, oh God, what it is that you would have for us to do. Oh, Father, as we come before you this month in prayer and fasting, oh, God, Father, we need to hear from heaven, oh, God. We need to hear a word from you. We need to know, oh, God, that you want us to do what we're doing, oh, God. Come on, pray. Come on, pray where you are. Let the tears flow. Come on, lift your hands to heaven and cry out to a holy God. Father, we're crying out for our businesses. We're crying out for our employers. We're crying out for our co-workers. We're crying out even, yea, for our enemies, oh God. Come on, lift your hands, pray. Come on, pray. Come on, press in and pray. Come on, cry out for somebody else today. Cry out for someone that you may not know today. Cry out for someone you may want to know today. Cry out for someone that may have hurt you today. Cry out for someone who may have helped you today. Learn to cry out. Learn to pray. Learn to ask the Lord to bless other people. Learn to ask him to be a blessing. Learn to allow him to use you to be a blessing for others. Allow him to use you to pray for others. Allow him to use your life to be a light in the life of somebody else. Stop allowing him to use your life to be a cursing. Don't allow him, don't allow the enemy to use you to be a cursing and to curse people. Allow the Holy Spirit to touch you on today. It's a new year. It's time to change the way you think. It's time to change the way you're acting. It's time to cry out to a holy God. Stop abusing and laughing at the people of God and become a person of the Lord. Become a follower of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. All heaven will rejoice. You have not done anything too bad, too vile, too disgusting that the Lord Jesus Christ, when you come to him sincerely, you come to him with your whole heart. You come to him with your whole mind, and you cry out to him. He is waiting for you. He loves you so very, very much because he created you. He allowed you to be born of your mother, and there is an assignment for every soul that has been born of a woman. Yes, we may be days full of trouble, but he has assignments for us when we turn our heart to him. And as we continue on about fasting, then there is biblical fasting. Biblical fasting is regarding a specific need, as I mentioned earlier, like if you're in trouble, financial crisis, for family or your church body, for help, for direction, for strength, for deliverance, for anointing and a closeness to God. Fasting. And then it keeps reasons for fasting before you're during the time of your fast. And then determination to minister before God during your fast. And so we're going to look at some of the other scriptures here with Esther. You may know heard of the movie Odessa or One Night with the King. It's talking about Queen Esther in the Old Testament, and she has her own book, Esther chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, and it came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth, and in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was a great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and sad wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. You may say, what does that mean, weeping and wailing and laying in sackcloth and ashes? It just means they were humbling themselves, they were praying, they were crying out to God, they were fasting, and they were so intense with talking to God that they began to weep, and they began to moan, and they began to cry out to God. And they weren't concerned about being all dressed up because they came to him humbly and plainly, and they were crying out for God. And then we jump down to verse 15, then verse 16. Esther said to them, go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me. And don't eat or drink for 3 days, day or night. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. If I perish, I perish. So in other words, Esther was given a mandate by God to approach the king. And during that time, it was normally the men would approach the king. Well, Esther had married, she was married to the king. Now she'd been chosen to be married to the king, and he had been deceived. And if you want to know more about the story, I recommend you read the book of Esther. It's not a long book, but it's a very interesting book, very powerful book with a very good story regarding something that happened. And so Esther wanted favor. She wanted favor of the Lord. She wanted to go in there with empowerment. She wanted to go in there where God would pave the way so that when she opened her mouth and spake a word to the king, she would be received and that he would be able to have the ability to hear what thus say of the Lord. You know, sometimes we've got to fast and pray and fast and pray, because there are people that don't hear what you may be saying. There are people that may not understand what you're saying. You got to fast. You got to pray. You got to seek the Lord Jesus Christ so that he can permeate their mind, permeate their spirit, and cry out to the Lord, and so that you will be able to do what God has called you to do. And other times, those of you that want to develop a relationship with God, you know, I don't recommend someone who's not spirit-filled to fast and pray. Because what happens is when you have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside, the fasting is just allows you to let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you into direction, lead and guide you into the direction that God wants you to go, to lead and guide you into all truth. It begins to open up your ear to hear the voice of God. It begins to open up your eyes to see as God would have you to see. And so this is why fasting and praying is so important. It's so key. I don't understand how anyone could possibly say they're a follower of the Lord if they don't spend time with him in praying and fasting. And we go down to Esther. And verse 30, and he sent the letters unto all the Jews to the 120 and 7 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus with words of peace and truth to confirm these days of Purim in their times appointed according as Mordecai the Jew and Esther the queen had enjoined them. And as they had decreed for themselves and for their seed the matters of the fastings and their cry, and the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in the book. Wow. So the fasting and praying, it worked. She went before God. She had her people go before God with a need for a time of trouble. And God heard their prayer, and the fasting and prayer worked. And so it was a turnaround, and a change occurred regarding the matters that they had in their kingdom at that time. And Esther was used as instrumentally for a decree to be written in the book of their kingdom, and it was put into law there. What a powerful testimony. You know, when we are spending time with God, when we're loving on him, you've got to know that he is going to meet you where you are. He's going to meet your needs. He's going to meet your situation. It may not look like he's working on your behalf, but he is. It may not look like he's doing anything for you, but he is. He's working on people's hearts. He's working on their minds. He's working on your situation. He's turning things around. He's tugging on them and dealing with them even when they're sleeping, even when they're riding around in their cars, even when they're doing their businesses, even when they're thinking about doing evil things to you. God is working on that man, that woman's heart and soul, and he's pulling on them because of your faithfulness, because of your praying, because of your fasting. I'm a testimony to it. I truly believe that. There is nothing greater than the love I have for my God. Yes, I love my husband with all my heart, but my soul loves God. My soul loves Jesus Christ. My soul loves the power of the blood. There is nothing and no one that can take that love away, that can make that go away, because I have developed a relationship with the Lord. And that's why I'm excited to share this with you. This is why I'm excited to let you know, when your mind changes, when your mind turns around, when your mind is different, when your mind thinks a new way and a newness of life. You know, Romans chapter 12 tells us for our minds to be transformed, for our minds to be conformed, for our minds to be renewed. Why? Because without the Word of God, we cannot think the way we ought to think. And so when we're fasting and praying, God empowers us with the ability to think the way we ought to think. But you've got to understand and you've got to realize that He is there with you. The Father is there in your present situation. He sees everything you're doing. He knows everything you're thinking. He knows every plan, plot, ploy. He knows every desire. He knows every success, and He knows every failure. Oh, glory to God. There is nothing too hard for Him. There is nothing too difficult for Him. There is nothing too challenging for Him. And so we want you to know that He will meet you there, and He wants you to know that there are people who, as they pray, it says, we will meet you there. They'll meet you right where you're at. Because why? Because God's word is powerful. God wants you to elevate your mind. He wants you to come up into the Holy of Holies. It's time for the believers now to get out of that outer court and get pressed past the inner court. It's time to come up into the Holy of Holies. It's time to come up and dwell where the Lord is. It's time to dwell in the presence of God. It's time to elevate your spirit and mind where you just surrender all to Him so that He can go before you in your battles. He'll be with you, behind you to protect you. He'll be around all side of you to with His angels. You've got to begin to know that the Lord loves you deeply. And so we're going to be back after this one song, and we pray that you will be blessed.
Father, we desire to find our rest in you. Fill the longing of our heart through Jesus, the bread of life. grateful that you have redeemed us through the precious blood of Christ.
What we want to do, we want to meet the Lord. We want to cry out holy as we fast and pray so that we can meet the Lord, meet his presence, meet his glory, meet his purpose, meet his will. That's what fasting and praying does for the soul, for the mind. You know, it used to amaze me. And also sometimes it even appalled me that here's a holy God who's full of love, who's full of joy, who's full of peace, but he's also full of standards and full of directors and full of righteousness and full of, I don't want to say rules. There is a standard for holiness, a standard, a way to approach a holy God. There's standards of how we're to live as believers of a holy God. And how when God calls people to ministry and he calls us to be servants to people, servants where we are nourishing, feeding them a word that will nourish their soul, that will nourish their spirit man. And I used to be taken back because I would say, Father, you're such an awesome God. I was even guilty of this years ago where I was running from the call of God, didn't want to do it, was afraid. And when God began to mature me and grow me, and I'm still yet growing in him, you know, never stop growing and learning in the Lord. But it's like, wow, how could I have been that way? Because he's my creator. He's my father. He loves me. He doesn't want any harm for me. He loves my marriage. He loves my spouse. He loves my parents. He loves our spiritual children. He loves us. He only wants the best for us. And then I said, Father, how is it that people will turn their heart to wickedness and to evil and to cursings and to living riotously and sexual sins and perversion and anger and distraught and yada, yada, on and on. And I said, Father, help me. I don't understand all of that. It makes no sense to me. It's not even reasonable thinking. It's not even logical thinking. And I said, Father, help me with that. And, you know, God began to deal with me the more I prayed, the more I fast. And he began to show me the areas, what I went through in my life before I knew the Lord. And there are many things I may never have done, but the inner part of the heart, you know, some of us may say, well, I was never one to run around and do such perversion and blah, blah, blah. But did you ever have bitterness? Did you ever have unforgiveness? Did you ever have lack of self-discipline of any kind in how you eat your fruits or sweets or smoking or gossiping or judgmentalism or religiousness? He said all of it is sin to him. And so I used to be one of those, how could they do that? How could they think that way? How could they act that way? But then God began to show me in my own heart, you know, Jesus came to change the hearts and minds of the people. Even though we may feel that we're righteously okay, that we treat everybody good, we help people, we give money, we donate, we do this, we do that, But what's in your heart? Is there love in your heart? Is there malice in your heart? Is there jealousy in your heart? Is there control in your heart? Is there a mindset in your heart to make people do something they don't want to do in your heart? Is there something in your heart infringing on someone else's life? Is there something in your heart to try to break up a happy home? Is there something in your heart that when your boss tells you to do something, is there rebellion there? Is there distrust there? The list is endless. For sake of time, I won't go on and on with it, but he began to show me everyone has something they have need of, something to turn from, something to grow into, to get closer to him. And so in Jonah, chapter 3 of the Old Testament, as we continue about fasting and praying, I'm going to read verses 4, 5, and 6. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. Now, let me give you a little story about Jonah. This is a short book in the Old Testament, Jonah. God asked Jonah to go to Nineveh to minister to the people because the people in Nineveh were evil people. They were full of sin. They were disobedient. And God was going to punish Nineveh and destroy Nineveh. But he gave Jonah a mandate to go and preach prophetically the word to the people of Nineveh to tell them to repent and to turn from their sin. What I particularly love about this story is that when the people heard Jonah's teaching and they heard his preaching and they realized it was sent from heaven, well, let's read and see what happened. And so when Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Well, you may want to, you keep bringing up that sackcloth and ashes. What's that all about? Sackcloth and ashes was used with allusion to the wearing of sackcloth and having ashes sprinkled on the head as a sign of penitence or mourning. Well, you may say, well, what is penitence? Penitence is doing an action when you feel sorry or regretful for wrong things that you have done. It's symbolic of repentance. So it means that they were repenting. Even the king repented. When Jonah came to them with that word, all of Nineveh called a fast. They turned from their wicked ways. They repented from what they were doing because they did not want to be destroyed. Wow, would that not be awesome if that were to happen in today's time? Can you imagine all of America repenting of their sexual perversion and anger and jealousy and racial differences? Would you imagine? Let's just imagine that for a second. That would be awesome if our nation would do that. That would be awesome if we would come together on one accord and lay in sackcloth and ashes. In other words, have a heart of repentance. In other words, have a mindset to change. That would be phenomenal if we would do that and feel that way regarding the Lord. Well, these people did that during that time, and they fasted and they cried out to God. So have you noticed all the scriptures I've been reading, how the people fasted and they prayed? And this is what is important and what is key. They said, this isn't about us. God sees how we're living. He sees how we're acting. We don't want to be destroyed. We're going to do what he said do, and we're going to go before him, and we're going to cry out, because they knew they were wrong. They knew the way they were living was not pleasable to the Lord, and so they wanted to obey their creator, which is in heaven. It's time that we get back to that kind of thinking. It's time that we begin to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, how would you have me to live? Lord, how would you have me to act? And when we do that, we are going to see some miraculous things take place in our lives. We are going to begin to feel that we have been healed even though we're broken. We're going to begin to feel the presence of a holy God take place in our life. But it can only happen, believers, through fasting and praying. He can turn our situation around. I am looking for a particular song that I wanted to play for you. And, you know, I'm just excited today. I really am. And I haven't taken any calls today so far, but I want you to know that if you desire to call, you can. The 1-657-383-0029. Otherwise, you can continue to be blessed by our show segment on fasting and praying. Now, as we continue on with the word, we look here and we see in Matthew chapter 4, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, wow, Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And you're going to say, well, he was the Son of God. He could do that because he wasn't just completely human. He was part God. Well, I mean, I have met people that have fasted 40 days and 40 nights easily. And then I've met some that's even done it 88 days. I'm not recommending you do that, but there are some people that have been able to do that, and they are so empowered with an anointing. I said, Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. After he was so hungry, then while he was hungry, the tempter came to him. And we know who the tempter is. It's the devil. And he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Isn't that amazing how the devil always pops up to try to tempt people to do things that they should not do, to prove their self, to try to make their pride stand up, to try to make you be competitive, to try to make you take the dare, so to speak, to prove who you are. Do you see that sometimes in ministry, how people are competing based on their anointings, based on their giftings, not knowing their giftings aren't given to them for a competition. It's not given to them for competing. It's not given to them to compare themselves with their other brother or sister with the same gift. The anointings are given that we may be servants of God, to be a blessing to people, servants of the people, to draw them closer to God, representatives of the Holy Spirit, so that the Word of God can be flow through us purely, so that people can repent, or people can be strengthened, or people can be nourished, or their spirits can be nourished and fed. And also the gifts are given so that we can equip the brethren, build up and restore the brethren, and draw them to the cross, draw them to the blood of Jesus Christ, draw the world to the blood, draw them to the power of the cross, draw them so that they can become sons and daughters of Zion. Amen. Fasting and praying. And Jesus did it 40 days and 40 nights. Matthew chapter 6, verses 15 through 18. Now, with fasting and praying, we also have to think about forgiveness. Forgiveness is also very important. When we fast and pray, we have to forgive. We have to be able to forgive those that have wronged us. We have to be able to understand that without forgiveness, there would be no remission of sins. Without forgiveness, we would not be able to be representatives of the word. Forgiveness is key when you're fasting and when you're praying. Forgiveness is key when you want to be stronger. Forgiveness is key to grow spiritually. Forgiveness is key so that you can learn how to do what God has called you to do. But you may say, but I'm broken, I've been hurt, I've been wounded, I've been crushed, I've been discouraged so many times, what do I do? Well, you've got to cry out to the Lord, but know that when you have been broken, God is able to heal you.
Hallelujah.
of all kings, Lord above all, God of my praise. You are my song, I'll praise you with my every breath. Glorious God, in you I rest. Great is the mercy of you, O God. Honor your presence in this sanctuary. I will exalt and I'll lift your name high. Allow your blessings.
To shower down his blessings on us. We want him to empower us. We want him to strengthen us. We want him to love us. We want him to give us his blessing. And you know, when we're fasting and praying, it's drawing us closer to the Lord. Fasting and praying strengthens our ministries. Fasting and praying blesses us to be greater ministers for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, as you're teaching and preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and him crucified, you are drawing the people to the Lord God so that he can reign on them. We can't reign on a people. In other words, we can't shower them with blessings, but we can be used as a blessing to draw their hearts and minds to them. You know, fasting. We approach a fast with importance and seriously. It produces results. It urges God to respond. Our heart must not be frivolous or lighthearted toward fasting. Well, I fast just to go along with the group, but my heart is really not into it. Or my heart must fervently be sincerely committed to the fast. It will draw a fellowship with God like you have never known before. Zechariah 7 and 5, did you really fast for me, says the Lord. So in other words, when we're fasting, are we really fasting to draw closer to the Lord? Or are we just part of a church group or part of a team and say, hey, everybody, let's fast. Let's do the Daniel fast. Hey, everybody, let's push the plate back. Why are you doing it? What is your intention? What do you want to get out of it? Yes, you may be broken. Yes, you may want God to heal you. But what else are you looking for when you're fasting and praying? What else is your desire? What is your agenda when you're fasting? You know, there's just too many out there. There's too many agendas when people are fasting. But they leave God out of their agendas. But the purpose of fasting and praying, when you're doing it biblically, when you're doing it to change your year, to change your life, to change the way you think, you are hungering for the kingdom of God. You're hungering for God's agenda. You're hungering for the purposes and plans of God on the earth so that he can work through you, so that you can be a blessing. Now, somebody out there may feel broken, and you may desire to be healed, knowing that as you push your plate back and you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and you're a spirit-filled believer, God will heal you. He can identify. Only he can identify with your brokenness. Allow God to heal you. Allow God to mend your broken heart. Allow him to mend your broken spirit. Allow him to restore you, because he wants to restore you this the beginning of this year. You need your strength. You need your energy to do the task that God has called you to do.
Brought your burdens, brought your pain, but I have a message for you today, that when you leave here, you won't be the into your position. Look at you, there's been no change in your condition. Reach out and touch the magical. There's healing for your mind. Oh, your body and can he?
Can he heal?
And he can mend him. About the situation, But with every test and every trial, there is revelation that God is able to supply every one of your needs. He is to touch and heal you. Oh, she'll set you free. Yes, he will. God, you promised me. Said he would. I can
heal.
Right now, so that you can receive from the Lord, so that you receive your healing. When you're fasting and when you're praying, it's to receive from the Lord, it's to hear from heaven, it's to love on God, it's to be equipped, it's to receive from the Holy Ghost, it's to receive from the Father, it's to receive from Jesus Christ. As you begin to bless Him, as you begin to praise Him, you know, as we begin to fast and pray throughout this month of January, you want to know that God is with you. And we pray that that song blessed your soul. I know it truly blessed mine. You may be broken, but you are healed today. You can be healed and you can be set free. And know that as you reach out to the Lord, He will fight your battle. He will bless you. He will keep you. And Father, we give thanks, praise, and glory and honor to you. We thank you, Father, for blessing the people who tuned in today and that they realize and know that their battle belongs to you. We pray that they will be blessed. We declare strength, life, renewal, and restoration on them this day as they go through January with their New Year fast and pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Thank you for tuning in to Prayer Warrior For You. God bless you. Until next time.
He's raised up a standard, the power of His blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory.
Hello.